You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Biggie on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7. And we get also heard on the web at WWBC 1510 AM. Paul will tell our listeners how to get on online to listen to our show on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends all over the God's magnificent planet. Take it away, Paul.
Absolutely. That would be on 1510-1510 WWBC.com. And we're streaming on there as a free download as well, WWBC. It's a free download in either the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store, Sita.
Thank you. So we sit here on Mondays, Ellen O'Neill, myself, and Samantha at times when Samantha is helping us to fill in today for Ellen. Ellen is on the beach.
Lucky her.
We sit here on Mondays and we speak about kitchen table topics. We talk about things that are going on right here in Brevard County, Florida, in our beautiful state of Florida, as well as around God's universe, like everywhere. We get involved because I think the only way to make your impact on planet Earth is to stay engaged and involved year-round. It doesn't have to be only when a politician shows up in your neighborhood, or a child is abused, or an elderly is abused, or maybe someone lost their home, someone can't afford a mortgage, someone have some financial literacy problems in their homes. We should stay engaged year-round so we could help people, offer advice, and give them solid information. And so we try to do that right here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and today's no different. My good friend, Michelle Wallace Campandelli, is here. She is a national best-selling American author, and I love saying American. I love how your website says that. She's also a singer and a local celebrity. She's written about 9 stories appearing on the bestsellers list, including 2 that has reached number 1 on the New York Times. Michelle's short stories have been included in over 30 international selling anthologies, and she has penned numerous novels, magazines. I can't. It's just amazing to have a friend like that. Welcome to our show.
Thank you, Sita. It's so good to see you.
Yes, you look great. And Samantha, thank you for being here.
Always a pleasure.
So I was going to have a friend of mine join us on the phone. My friend Robin Donaldson was going to join us and speak about the confirmation hearings about Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. But she had to board a flight. So I'm not sure that's going to happen, but our phones are open. If she calls in, we'll chat a little bit about Judge Brown and her background and why we all think she should be confirmed to the Supreme Court.
Yes.
Lord knows we're watching the confirmation bias that's going on in Washington, D.C. And it's like, wait a minute, you don't ask everybody else those questions. But I guess this is life, right? So let's talk about the Oscars.
Oh, boy.
Who watched the Oscars last night? And Michelle, this is your show today, so I
was shocked at what happened with Will Smith and Chris Rock. I was shocked. I partially almost thought it was staged, but the more you watch it, the more you realize, no, not staged. There's something going on here.
Well, there's something going on for sure, because I said to myself, at first I was like, is that part of the act?
Yeah.
Because I don't think anybody should get that angry on an international stage like that, where millions of people are watching, and just go up there and just hit someone.
Well, Will Smith is a role model for young black men, and black on black crime needs to end for sure.
Right, right, right.
And once I realized it was not a skit or stage, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what happened here?
Maybe the Academy should lessen the consumption of alcohol before the awards. Maybe leave it for afterwards.
Yes, and it said this morning Chris Rock could have pressed charges.
He refused.
But yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I thought, I've always said that violence against a friend, a neighbor, a country, a nation, a coworker, violence is not the answer, right? God gave us these senses to speak and walk and talk, communicate. To me, if Chris Rock had said something that was insensitive, that was terrible against Jada Pinkett Smith, to me, Will Smith would have been better off speaking to him about it after the show and say, hey, listen, I didn't like what you said about my wife.
Right.
She has alopecia. We understand it's a condition where you lose your hair. And maybe Chris Rock would have said, man, I didn't know and I'm sorry, but to just go up there and hit the guy, what message are you sending to other people who get angry?
Why did he feel like he was Jada's guard dog? I mean, why didn't Jada stand up and say something?
Right.
You know?
It's like we were all concerned about Kanye West. And now it's like, wait a minute, Will Smith needs anger management classes.
Yeah. I think that honestly, with the temperature of this nation and the last 5 or 6 years that we've lived, we've lost common decency. We've lost self-control. So instead of people sitting
back
and saying...
Well, not everyone. There are other men that hear people talk about their wives and they won't go up and suck somebody, you know?
Yeah, they demand an apology maybe.
Maybe
yeah.
demanding an apology, but of late we all have to agree that violence is heightened right now.
Right. Yeah.
People's fuses are short.
I agree with that.
People are super sensitive over things that to us might not be like that important, but his wife's illness might be, you know, his life is falling apart in the public eye. She cheated on him and told him on national television. His children have been extremely troubled. So there's a lot going on there.
But
do I think that Chris Rock should have maybe said, I'm not going to press charges, but I expect a formal apology? Yes. And what breaks my heart is to see that as an African-American, you took home an Academy Award yesterday. The first time with all the movies he's ever made, he takes home an Academy Award and is tainted by the fact that you punched Chris Rock in the face.
Well, our words and our actions matter. And Will Smith has to face the consequences of his actions. I don't think it's a race thing as much as it is a violence thing. You know, we've all seen where people have said things about, we've seen people say things about Melania Trump, for example, called her names. We didn't see President Trump smacking somebody.
Or
we've seen people talk
about
Jill Biden. You know, you don't see President Biden hitting someone. You see, look what happened in our town with Sanjay Patel. People talked about Stacey Patel, right? We've seen things like that, but you don't hit somebody. You try to talk about it.
Even when President Trump insulted the disabled person, nobody stood up for the disabled person, you know?
Yes, yeah. So I just feel like, you know, our children are watching. We're watching the violence in Ukraine. And I tell you, for me, what I thought about last night, I'm like, dude, you could have used that stage to talk about the elderly in Ukraine who right now don't have food and water and electricity and gas, and little children are fleeing with their parents. You could have used that world stage to make a plea for peace.
Yeah.
You accept the award, you talk about peace and love and unity, but you just sucked a man right on the face for doing what is his job. He is a comedian. That's what people do when they're in the act of comedy, right?
To me, I think it's sad. It's going to tarnish a very... very, very Oscar-worthy career. He's never been a rapper to speak negatively about women. He doesn't call them the B-word in their raps. He was always so...
Clean
cut.
Yeah.
And it seems just like, you know, maybe the persona of I'm this clean cut, perfect guy, he snapped and nobody's realizing why.
Well, what is that saying? You don't know what goes on behind closed doors.
You don't.
People have a public personality. And then they have a private personality. So,
well, his public, he's always, you know, he's the lead man.
Yes.
He definitely does violence in his movies.
Big time Hollywood,
you know,
money.
Yeah, big time. And he's, you know, this macho guy. And maybe he took on that persona a little bit where he feels like he had to do something.
Yeah, I mean, their personal life, I mean, with him and his wife and whether he's upset or not upset, that is not our business. Our business
and
is
to be honest,
on a stage.
And honestly, to me, on a stage, on a world stage, what you did, forgive me for putting it this way, but you made everybody say, you see what I mean about them? You see what I mean about them? They can't control their tempers. They don't know how to behave. And that's just not the time where we need to hear that.
I didn't even hear any. What I've seen on social media is that people were upset that he hit the guy.
Yeah, because they were saying, what if Wanda Sykes would have made the joke? Were you going to hit Wanda Sykes?
More of violence, because the other guy, Chris Rock, could have turned around and hit him back. But he didn't. What he did was remarkable. He decided to just keep going on. He was the ultimate professional.
He was stunned. Absolutely. He was like, he was stunned.
But anyways, let's pray for peace, right?
Right.
Let's hope they work it out and we'll all be happy. So the other thing going on right now, Michelle, you're here and you've been through so much. If anybody is a role model for adults and children and people who got over tragedy, it's you.
Oh.
And you've been on our show quite a few times, and we've spoken about how you sought education to calm your nerves and make you a better person, become, you know, you just wanted to prove to yourself and to others that even though you lost your husband and you're a widow, you were going to channel your energy into something so positive, and you chose education and writing.
It started out where I was applying for jobs and wasn't getting them. And then, you know, I lost my house because I lost my husband and the financial support. And I said, I'm going to do this myself. I'm going to go back to school. I'm going to get educated, and I'm going to be financially responsible for myself. And that took a lot. I mean, from going from being married to being on your own, and literally, I mean, my husband suffered a heart attack. It was instant almost. And so you go from having the life of your, you know, a dream life, you know, you didn't have to worry about bills, you know, you had all this, you know, everything you wanted, to being literally, you know, have nothing, wondering when your next meal was going to come. And it took a lot, but I went back to school. And to be honest, not everyone was supportive, because I'm horrible at math. Horrible.
Oh, yeah, I remember when you said you were. But you did it.
Family members were like, are you sure you're going to be able to do this? Okay, I did fail intermediate algebra 3 times, but I did eventually pass it. But it took a lot of tutoring. It took a lot of hard work. But I just didn't give up. I said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get my AA. Then I went and I said, I'm going to get my bachelor's degree. Then I went for my master's. And now I'm going for my doctorate. I'm about a year away from getting my doctorate.
And this journey has taken you, I think, almost 8 years.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And it hasn't been easy. I mean, you have to work at school. It's not easy. In fact, I think you said your nephew just got on the president's list.
My son.
Your son. That is such an accomplishment. I mean, honestly, it is.
Well,
that
it
means
speaks
he's
volumes
a great
about
suit.
The kind of mother that she is.
True.
She's a great mom, and she really, really puts everything into her child, which is great, you know? But so you said not everybody was supportive. In what way were they not supportive? Did they just think that you couldn't do it based on what? Okay.
Yes. You know, basically.
So you're like the little
like,
engine that says, I think I can, I think I can.
Yeah,
when
did
I was hearing, you know, I don't think you're going to pass math, you know. Maybe you should try a different avenue, you know. But I just didn't give up. I said, I'm going to do this. I don't care how many hours I have to be in tutoring. I'm doing this. And eventually I did. Now, have I used algebra since?
No.
I'm sorry.
Why
no.
torture everyone with that class when nobody really uses it?
I guess if you're a painter and you need to figure out how many paint cans you need and certain things like that. So certain professions do use algebra regularly, but I haven't used it.
It's like nursing. You know, they tell us we had to learn all this math in nursing school, but really and truly, if you have to hang an IV or something, the pharmacy writes everything on the label. You don't even have to look it up. They write, you know, 100 cc's, you know, for 1 hour. And so, you know how to do that. It's 1 hour.
Yeah.
So you just set your pump, right? But other people get confused. And it's like, no, you don't. Just call the pharmacist. They'll tell you what to do.
Yeah.
So it's good. But along the way, you've also had some medical conditions that came up. And you rose to the occasion and said, I'm still not going to get derailed. I want to get your end game is to get a doctorate in education, correct?
Yes, I want to get a doctorate in education and become a creative writing teacher. I do.
Oh, wow.
So at the college level, that's my goal.
Right.
You know, one of my goals, I also love to write books and things, but so I knew what I really wanted to do, and I just said, I'm going to do it, you know, so.
Yeah. So have you, did you have a coach to guide you along, or did you just channel your inner energy throughout this process?
Well, I had help with a lot of tutoring. Dr. Lamb at Eastern Florida State College really took me under his wing and gave me a full music scholarship, which helped pay for a lot of it. So I really owe a lot to myself and to Dr. Lamb for not giving up on me and me not giving up on myself. There were so many times when I was just, oh, I've done this before, I can't figure it out, and I was just so frustrated. And, I mean, college is hard work. It really is. It's not, you know, oh, I'll do this paper later. Oh, you know. No, it's hard work. It takes a lot of energy and a lot of your brain power to understand what's going on in all these different subjects. And I fell in love with education. I love learning. You know, I started loving it and loving the process, and that helped too.
Yeah, so, it's an amazing asset when you have a educational institution that wants to support you and yes. won't let you give up on yourself.
Yes.
And to me, I think that's the beauty of the Eastern Florida State College Cocoa campus.
And when you take a sociology class and it says education is the number one way people are able to get out of poverty.
That sticks with you.
Yeah, it does.
And it is the truth. It is the God honest truth. I always say, you know, it's better to get your degree or your trade or whatever you think it is going to help you to live, to pay yeah. your bills, right? And then if you want to do something on the side, that's okay.
Yeah.
But education is the only foolproof way sometimes to get ahead. And I think that sentence is profound.
Yeah. Yeah. It sticks with you. You realize you're doing this for your future, you know? So I highly recommend it. And I highly recommend Eastern Florida State College. It's a great school. I had a wonderful time. Because, you know, I went back and I'm in my 40s. And the kids were all cool to me.
Yeah. And so have you been asked to speak to high school students or elementary school students or middle school students? I think your story of how you took the bull by its horns, so yeah. to speak, and decided, I am going to go back to school because education is the key to life. Yeah. And I'm going to do it. I think a lot of people do give up. I have heard of many adults that gave up when something didn't go their way with a class.
Yeah. Or they couldn't get in a class, or they, you know, it's sometimes you have to wait for the class to be available. There's a lot of issues with higher education. There are. But you just say to yourself, I'm going to do this and nothing's going to stop me. And then you get through it.
Have you reached out to Brevard Public Schools to see if you could speak at their school? The schools?
No, I haven't.
You're shy in that way, I think, but we will get you in there. So,
you
because
get
it's
me
amazing.
Talking. You have a gift for it.
Yes.
I'm not normally
yeah, you
this
can make
talkative.
Anybody talk.
Yeah. Well, you know, I am. The thing is, I do believe that every day we wake up, if we're that fortunate to be part of this magnificent planet, as we age, it's really like fine wine for some of us. I mean, you do get bolder and older and wiser. And I think with that comes the responsibility that whatever we are learning, we should pass it on to someone else. Like yesterday, I was speaking to this girl and she said that her husband wanted to open his own business, a construction company, painting, you know, restoration. And I said, well, my friend Ellen, who is my co-host, she is helping people to coach them, teach them how to get a grant, show them how to open a business, have a business plan. And so I gave her Ellen's number.
Yeah.
And I felt good about myself because I think one of the reasons why we are on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, it is to help other people like that. And the girl was so excited. She immediately called her husband and told him, and he said he was going to contact Ellen and see if he can speak to her. But I think that's our role as we get older, you know?
Well, that's your role. You help everyone that you can, Sita. You really do. You get involved in people's lives and help them.
She changes them completely.
Yeah.
Well, you know what it is? It's because...
Not everybody is as wonderful as you.
Well, I try, you know, because I feel like even sometimes I look at life and I see myself, you know, as that humble person that came from the islands to America and how good the United States has been. Because there's two things about this country that people forget, and it's opportunities leads to success. Mm-hmm. But it's up to us to take the opportunities.
Right.
And not everywhere in the world people have those opportunities. So, like, I will hear people complaining about United States and things going on in our country, and I still say, dude, it's still the greatest country in the world.
Yes.
Because a lot of the freedoms we have here, a lot of people, they don't have it.
Right.
You know, so I do realize that I'm fortunate in that way. So in addition to going back to school and working towards getting your doctorate, you are also the publisher of books. And I know, yes. How much time do we have in this segment, Danny? Okay, so we could chat a little bit before we go on break.
Okay.
So you started writing.
Yes, I started writing in high school and writing short stories, novels, and I fell in love with it. I love to tell stories. And the one, I have two new books that have just come out. One is Birds of a Feather, and the other is a children's book, Land of the Gnomes. Now, a lot of people know me with working with Space Coast Symphony Orchestra, and they just did a program, Land of the Gnomes. In fact, if you go to the website, www.spacecoastorchestra.com, you can click on a link, I think, and see the program. And it's so cute. They take my book, and they do songs associated with it, usually. And it's a great program. And we've gotten a lot of feedback from teachers because a lot of it's music inspired. So my children's books are to inspire kids to get involved with music, which I think is a wonderful thing because music helps you in math and others. It teaches teamwork, too. If you're in a band or a choir, you have to learn teamwork. And so it helps kids in other subjects as well. So I love music education. So my children's books are kind of geared towards that. And then we do a program once a year. Next year we'll be doing Rex and Friends. And I don't want to give away any plots or anything for it, but it'll be in November later this year. And it'll be a program with the orchestra, which will show slides of my book and then do songs that go with it.
Yeah. So, Michelle, where did you... So, for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with our friend Michelle Wallace Campanelli. She is a national best-selling author. She's a singer. She's also a screenwriter. We'll have to talk a little bit about that, too.
Yes.
And I just finished her book, Birds of a Feather. I actually finished the book in about 7 hours, and I could not put it down. It's such... And it's set right here in Brevard County. You talk in the book about the mansion... You speak about Sharps,
yeah.
Right? You talk about all the roads here.
Yes.
The Space Center.
And the Palm Bay vultures, of course.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm like, as I read the book, I'm like, oh, I know where this is. I know this restaurant. I know this birthday. I'm like, this will be good if this book should be a movie.
Well, hopefully it will be. I just signed with DreamBooks Media. And they picked up Birds of a Feather and my one from a long time ago called Keeper of the Shroud, which is about the Shroud of Turin, and it's a romance. But anyway, they picked those two up, and they're going to adapt it and then present it to like 500 movie companies, sorry,
yeah.
And hopefully it will eventually...
Become a movie.
Yes, I actually have an agent that's dealing with this.
I really think that Birds of a Feather is the one. Because this book touches a little bit. It's a love story.
Yes, it's actually dedicated to my late husband.
Yeah, I know. I kept reading. I'm like, I know this guy, Luigi. And Camp is your last name. And then certain characters in the book. And as I'm reading it, I'm thinking, okay, so there's a love story. There is a part about how the birds became infected, which
yes.
We won't give that away.
Yes, that's the fiction part.
Right, and then there's also a human interest story because you've got the captain.
Yes.
And the insubordinate.
Yes.
Which there's a little love going on there. Then you've got the child with cancer.
Yes.
And then I'm thinking about the book as I'm reading. I'm like, this is kind of like COVID-19. It's kind of like the love story. And then Luigi loves Italian food.
Yes.
Who doesn't love the Olive Garden? And what I liked about him is Luigi cooks for his wife.
Yes.
And they have a little pet.
A dog.
Yeah. So it's like it's an everyday story, but it's so believable.
Yeah.
That this can happen. I actually could see those vultures getting infected and causing havoc like that.
Well, here they're everywhere. You look up and you see a big flock of vultures. You know, they're huge. People don't realize how big our black vultures are.
Oh, they're big.
And they're intimidating. I don't know if you've ever been around and been under a flock of them and you're like, whoa, you know?
Especially the exhibit at the zoo that shows you how much of you they can eat and how fast.
Oh, God.
That's not fun.
Where at?
Bavard Zoo. It shows you who can eat how much of you. And you're like, oh, no, that's not God. Get me out of this cage.
Yeah, you can see them up close in the Bavard Zoo.
Mm-mm. Well, so. For listeners who are listening to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, you've got to check out Birds of a Feather. And we're going to go on a quick commercial break in a minute or so. But Michelle, if somebody wanted to check out this book while we're on a quick little break, what's the website?
Amazon. They can get it on Amazon.com or BN.com, BarnesandNoble.com.
Yeah, so you didn't self-publish. You actually have people who are interested in your books.
No, well, I did self-publish that one. Yes, I did.
You did?
Yes.
Oh, wow. And you were picked up by other literary agents.
Yeah, once I got it published, I got picked up by an agent. So I actually was inspired. I don't know if you ever watched the movie The Birds.
Mm-hmm. Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was terrified watching that movie. And it's so scary because you don't know why the birds are attacking people. And, you know, and they leave and you're like,
Well, that's that question, right? Why? And you are very inquisitive. You want to know why. But we're going to take a quick break and then we'll come back because this show today is all yours. Anything you want to speak about and jump in the conversation with Samantha and I, it's yours. And Danny is giving us a heads up that he's going to go to our ads. We want to hear from our sponsors that helps us with other shows and also today as well. So go for it, Danny. We'll be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9. Mattress and furniture. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000 or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345. Located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne, that's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Well, welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and we're also heard online on WWBC.com. You go there, you'll see a little button that says, "Let's listen live." You hit that. You may have to download an app. I'm not sure at this point, but whatever it is, listen live.
Look for the date.
Yes. Look, we are. All our shows are posted on Cedar Media Inc. And Samantha will give you the quick lowdown on how to get to those shows.
Yes. On Cedar Media Inc., you'll have each segment is broken up with usually a photo of the guest that came. And on the on-demand WW1510BC, you go to the calendar, you pick the date, the appropriate year, and you'll see Viewpoint with Cedar and Friends, and you can listen there.
So, thank you. So, for our guest today, our guest today is our good friend, Michelle Wallace Campanelli. She has 9 stories appearing on the bestsellers list, including 2 that have reached number 1 on the New York Times. And I am so proud to call her friend and watch her grow from being a widow 10 years ago to getting her doctorate. And not everybody has that gift, talent, and ability to do that. But what I find, Michelle, with you is you are a woman that you are open-minded, you're loving, you're kind. I don't think
graceful.
You have a divisive bone in your body or a racist bone. You don't seem to use words and phrases that causes fear and anxiety to others. Did you get that gift from your parents, or where did you find that grace?
I feel that, yes, I did get it from my parents a little, especially a love of education through my mom, who is a retired English professor. But I really get it from my faith. I believe in grace. I believe in forgiveness. And really, life is so short. Why have all these problems? And yes, sometimes I do lose my temper, but I told Sam, not like Will Smith.
Yeah.
So and actually, I think me and Sam have some advice for Will Smith on a word he needed to say.
He needed to woosaw yesterday, woosaw, like Bad Boys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like keep walking.
Woosaw, that's his fate. That's his and Martin Lawrence's favorite line in all the Bad Boy movies, like woosaw.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So he didn't take his own advice.
No, he did not.
Oh, my God. You know, or he need to move out of ballet. The Fresh Prince.
But I think it's so amazing to sit here next to Michelle and see someone with so much fortitude. Nothing was handed to you.
No.
You know what it is to lose everything, dust yourself off.
Yes.
Try again. And I think that that perseverance makes women like you an inspiration to women like me.
Well, I've also had,
especially being a widow,
some health problems as well, as Sita knows.
Yes.
I had a stroke and came back from it. And I mean, I couldn't even walk.
I remember seeing that on Facebook.
And I have a slight lisp sometimes in my voice. And
but we love you. And I think it's beautiful that you could still speak and get your words out.
Yeah.
And inspire and motivate others. I mean, it's empowering, you know.
And as long as you have hope, I think you're going to survive.
And you have faith. Most important with you, it's your faith, I think, that guides you. So you have penned numerous novels, magazines, newspaper articles, both fiction and nonfiction, published by a wide variety of publishing companies, and over 57 million people have read your written work.
Yes.
That is amazing.
Yeah, I've done some work with Chicken Soup for the Soul, and those were international, and that's where I was, where so many people have heard of me. And that's when I started getting fan mail, was when I was working, writing stories that inspired people. I talked about triumphs and things like
tribulations.
That.
Yeah.
That people that overcome, you know.
So I've heard that you signed with Book Media. Who are they?
They're a company that adapts books and hopefully gets them into movies. They did, I don't know the top, Hacksaw Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was one of their movies. So they take a book that they have a committee. They have people read these books, and the top ones, the ones that get voted, hey, this would make a great movie, are the ones that they approach.
Right. So they probably will try to write a screenplay.
Yes.
And then try to get a production company to make a film of one of your books.
Yes, correct.
Basically, we're talking about Birds of a Feather.
And Keeper of the Shroud. I signed two books with them, yes.
Wow.
And there's so much opportunity now with different streaming services.
Yes.
That are actually doing their own production. So that's, I look forward to it. I just added Birds of a Feather to my Amazon buy list. So I have to, if she read it in 7 hours, I got to do this.
You will read it, trust me.
So, well, if you like the birds, did you like the birds?
Yes.
Okay.
So in addition to writing, you also sing, but have you been singing lately?
Actually, since COVID hit, me and my mom, you know, used to sing at nursing homes, and we put on our shows of golden oldies, things like Frank Sinatra and Broadway and things like that to cheer up the elderly. Well, once COVID hit, they stopped that completely. So right now I'm singing in choir, which just got back, believe it or not. It's been almost 2 years before choir at church got back. So right now I'm singing at church. I don't sing as much as I used to.
You sang at my birthday party.
I did.
50th birthday party.
I did.
She sang Ave Maria, right?
Yes, and I was honored.
I wish you could sing again.
There.
If you want to sing, we wouldn't say no. So in
and
addition,
I sang on your show once too.
Yes, that's what I said. If you want to sing, you're welcome to. So in addition to singing, writing, being a full-time student, you are also with the Space Coast Symphony Orchestra.
Right, I'm the social media director.
Mm-hmm.
And basically I do graphics, post ads, take photography. I work directly with Joyce Weldon and Aaron Collins, who is the conductor. And so that's really kind of my side job. And I love, because I love music so much. I absolutely love music. I think it's important to instill a love of music in children, especially. So, so I work with them. They do a program once a year with one of my books, children's books. And it's exciting and inspires kids to want to pick up an instrument, maybe sing. So,
wow.
I agree with you. When it comes to music, it changes children's lives.
It does.
It's universal.
It does.
And it does help with their education as well. How's school going for you?
Well, school is hard, but it's a challenge, but I love it. I really do. I love education. I love the whole process of education. So, and I couldn't have done it without being, my mom, as you know, is an English professor, 46 years, Florida Institute of Technology. And she instilled, I mean, she, I would write a note on the table and then it would have red ink on it, you know.
Can't just, yeah. Remember those red inks?
You know,
yeah. Fix your punctuation, so, young lady.
She instilled good grammar and grammar techniques, and I think it's carried over to a great career for me.
So Birds of a Feather, it's a sensational, inspiring tale of raw determination, right?
Yes.
So where, besides getting your inspiration from the movie The Birds,
yes,
where else did you find your inspiration for your characters? I mean, you did mention Aaron Collins in the book as well.
Yes, they play at the wedding. But anyway, the Space Coast Symphony. Anyway, the character is, I mean, the book is dedicated to my late husband. It was inspired because he was a corrections officer at Juvenile Center. In fact, that's right on, right in, I guess it's Cocoa? I'm not sure.
Sharps? Yeah.
It's not Camp Road.
It's actually across the street.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Juvenile Detention Center.
Yeah.
So I was inspired by him, and I made, instead of a male lead, a protagonist, I decided to make it a female, to make it an inspiration to young girls, that this is a field that is usually dominated by men, but she comes in and then you see...
And she's a strong character.
Strong.
Yeah.
She wants to be a corrections officer and she does it. And a lot of women wouldn't even consider that a career because of the danger.
Yeah. And I like in the book how you weave the characters in, where you kind of made peace with a lot of these characters.
Yes.
Like Laura's mom and dad.
Right.
Even though they were he could have killed her.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
She's really likable, you
know?
Yes. She just tells it how it is. I love that character. And yes, they make peace. They get a divorce. He cheats on her. And they make peace. I'm giving away some plot points here. But
it's good, though, because the book, once you start reading it, you really you fall in love with each character. And then you want to know how your characters are developing and what's happening.
Yeah.
And that's what happened to me. I was roped into the book at the second page. I'm like, I have never not eaten dinner and just kept reading. And I did. So I really loved it. So I highly recommend Birds of Feather. So you said you can find the books on Amazon, but you also have your own website.
Yes.
And your website is very inspiring for young authors. So tell us a little bit about your website.
Well, you can't buy my books on my website.
I noticed that. Yeah, but you have a lot of nice stuff on your website.
It's dedicated to writers. And
I'm
people.
On there for an interview or something.
And it's fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
It helps inspire writers. It gives them tips and advice. Because I've had a lot of stumbles along the way. And I've been taken advantage of. There's a lot of companies out there that want money and they don't actually do the work or help you or, you know. So I wanted to help people as much as I could.
To navigate this process.
Right.
Because what you're saying, like, you know, we have Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and TikTok. They're all free.
Right.
Honestly, if somebody really wanted to, you could use those social media platforms to help you in your business or personal life or whatever it is you want. But I do know what you're talking about because I did call around certain companies to help me with a website and they were very expensive.
Yes. Rock Paper Simple did design my website and it's dedicated, like I said, so if you're a writer and you need advice from editors or other authors who've been published or get tips, it's wonderful for that. So go to www.michellecampanelli.com. And so if you're like, oh, you know, I want advice, how do I get started? This is a great place to go. Sita's written an excellent book, and I interviewed her, and it's a great interview.
Thank you. So in your book, you talk a little bit about food.
Italian. Yes.
So you're Italian, obviously.
Well, I'm not. I married an Italian.
And so, what's your background?
I am Greek and Scottish. I am actually
related. I always thought you and Louis were both Italians.
No. I'm related to Sir William Wallace. You know who he is?
Oh, wow.
I'm a distant cousin, yes.
Did you find out on 23andMe, or did you find it on Ancestry.com, or did your parents
told me. My dad, when he was alive, sat me down and he said, I need you to know who your cousin is.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. And he said, you know.
From Scotland.
And we were invited to the opening of the Wallace Museum.
Uh-huh.
We didn't go. My aunts did. But
And that was in Scotland?
Yes.
Wow.
And the family was involved.
You know what? You need to, now that you're recovered from the stroke and
maybe that's where I got this I'm never giving up attitude.
The Scots never gave up.
No,
they never did.
They fought England so hard, they never gave up.
Yeah, that's true. And so the food in the book, you touch on some of the food. Were some of those foods food that Louis cooked?
Oh, yes. He was a cook. In fact, when I first met him, he was working at Papa Gallo's Pizza. And he used to send me heart-shaped pizzas when we were dating.
Oh, how cute. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So he was the cook. So now you got something else that's in the book.
Yeah.
That I often do that, take people I know and kind of wave them into the characters. And that's how I get them to be so realistic, is they're based off real people.
Yeah. So. Well, you know, last night at the Oscars, we saw Lady Gaga with Liza Minnelli.
Yes.
Right? And it... As you speak to me and I hear about the book and you talk about the birds and we talked about Frank Sinatra and all that, it's kind of nice that you have respect for those things that came before us.
Yes.
You know, because that's what I saw last night with Liza Minnelli and Lady Gaga.
That was one of the highlights.
It was touching, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was very touching because, and that's a book in the making right there.
Yeah.
You know, about this generation appreciating the people that came before us and what they did to inspire us, because you are very inspired by the people from that era.
Well, I'm inspired by everybody. You inspire me.
Oh, thank you.
I do. You've done so much for this community. People don't realize how much you do for domestic violence, against it, for women. You help with Harbor. What is
Serene Harbor?
Harbor?
Yeah.
Zonta
you
Club.
You do so much behind the scenes that if people knew that, they would just be in awe of, you know. Just.
I try to use my life to be a purposeful life.
Yes.
Because I do know that one day the good Lord is going to take me home, and I have a great question for him or her when I see them. And it's going to be, why did you make all of us different colors and put us on the same planet if you knew people were going to be so mean and nasty and hateful? I want to know that, because I see it all the time. And you see it playing out in real life, you know, and it's like, it bothers me that we can't be kind to each other, because kindness is free.
Well, Sita, you've inspired me because you've taught me that a celebrity, you know, can use their name and their
platform,
people that they know, to help others. And it's awe-inspiring.
So what's in store for you? Are you writing any other books? Are you going to step out of the novel mode and go into a cookbook or anything different? Or maybe a how-to book about going back to school?
Well, right now I'm writing another fiction novel, and I'm also writing a children's novel called Baton, which is about a dog, a golden doodle, who steals the baton from the conductor. That's the whole story. And he winds up getting adopted.
That sounds like fun.
Yes. Yeah. So it's pro pets, you know, and of course about music as well. But I don't know if you know this, but I actually have a dog now named Baton. He's a little 4-month-year-old.
Yeah, you just adopted him.
I guess that's adopted.
Yeah.
So he's 4 months old, and he is a handful, and he's a golden doodle. So he is like my heart right now.
Yeah.
So
it's good though. They do bring you a lot of joy.
They do.
So, but when do you find a time to write? Like, where's your quiet space?
I write best in the morning when I first wake up, and I get inspired by everyday people and everyday situations. And it just takes off. It's almost like a movie in my head. So I get to the point where if I don't write it down, it's not going to leave me alone. So Yeah. That's the way it is.
It's like nagging at you to get it done.
Yep. Exactly.
And do you write in spurts or do you write in hours and stop and do something and come back to it?
Mostly hours and come back to it. I can put it down for months even and then go back to it. Yeah.
Did you have a favorite author as a child?
I liked Margaret Atwood. I liked James Patterson. There are some authors that I love. I even love Stephen King, believe it or not.
Oh, I love V.C. Andrews.
Yes.
V.C. Andrews, she was amazing.
Yes.
So I was in the attic and then all the other
families.
Well,
they're all Lifetime movies now.
But they're not the same.
No.
The books are better. The books are better than the movies.
I always liked the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drews and, you know, books from England, Enid Blyton and all
and
that.
And now there's a lot of books that are becoming movies that are, like, on Netflix. The Witcher, The Last Kingdom.
The Last Kingdom is amazing.
The Handmaid's Tale.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm really into Game of Thrones. So.
Oh, I love Game of Thrones. I can't wait for House of Dragons. It's going to be amazing.
So for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Michelle Wallace Campanelli. She's a national best-selling author, and she's from right here in Melbourne, Florida. And I just finished her newest book, Birds of a Feather. So, Michelle, you know, there are a lot of people that write books.
Mm.
And some of them say to us, writing the book is easy, marketing the book is difficult.
Well,
Do you find that to be true?
Yes. One of the decisions a writer has to make, do you want to go traditional or self-published? And I've had pros and cons with both. So, you have to know what you want to do and how much you're willing to work. If you're self-published, you got to do everything, you know. But you have more control. You have more control. You own more of the rights. You decide what happens with your book. So that's why I decided to try self-publishing with Birds of a Feather. So I'd own it. You know, I'd own it. I control it. I get more of the profits. So writers need to take that into mind. Do they want to be self-published or do they want to go traditional? If you don't have money, traditional is basically your only option. But
you don't own the rights to it.
No. And yeah. I mean, I had issues sometimes with some of my books. I'd want to send, like, a radio host the cover. Oh, you don't own the cover. You know, they wouldn't give you the rights to do certain things. And you're like, but it's my book, you know?
Yeah.
You wind up and then... You know, if something was to become a movie, they own the rights. You have to work with...
Then you're fighting for your own stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks. So, in addition to that, now, we had an author call in a couple weeks ago, Lawrence Overmeer, and he spoke about screenplays.
Yes.
Now, how difficult is it to write a screenplay? And would you be taking on the task to write a screenplay for your books, or you would hire out for that?
Well, I've already... it depends. Dream Books, I'm letting them do it. But I have written screenplays before, and that's what the symphony uses to do their programs, their videos. So I have. It is a different process. It's totally different. I went at Southern New Hampshire University. I took several screenplay classes. So it's totally different way of writing. It's more visually. You know, you have to... do it more visually than showing. So it's a different form of writing. And you have to know directions, like camera angles and things like that. So I had to learn that kind of thing. So I would say it's fun. In fact, it's a lot more dialogue. So if you're better at dialogue, you might want to consider writing a screenplay. But I like doing both.
Yeah.
So, but I would not call myself an expert at screenplays.
Yeah.
I would do it and maybe have somebody work with me to get it up to the level it needs to be.
Yeah, I know. Sam, isn't she amazing?
She's, I have a whole page here.
Yeah.
A plethora of information. I love it. I was gone all month and this really, really made my day.
Yes.
Great.
Well, you know, that's what our show, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, is all about. It's about showcasing people... in Brevard, in the state of Florida, whether it's a politician, whether it's a banker, whether it's a mortgage broker, people have a role to play in the lives of others. And Michelle's role to play in the lives of people right now is, how do you take a negative and turn it into a positive? How do you find purpose again after you lose the love of your life?
How do you find purpose
when you can't find a job and you say, well, I can't find this job, but I'm going to go back to school? Start at the ground level and go all the way up to becoming, getting your doctorate. So what advice do you have for people, Michelle, that says, I can't do this?
Well, I've heard that from other people saying that to me. And you just can't give up. You have to believe in yourself, you know?
Be your own best friend.
Right.
Well, we have 2 minutes left. And with those remaining minutes, I just want you to give us a website one more time for your book.
It's www.michelle, it's M-I-C-H-E-L-E, Campanelli, Campanelli.com.
And any events that's coming up with the Space Ghost Symphony Orchestra and the awesome Aaron Collins?
Yes. Well, the children's book, Rex and Friends, will be in November. And also, what else did I want to tell you?
Nothing about the watering hole. We're not doing anything like that.
That one already happened.
Okay.
And I think you can get to it by their website, spacecoastsymphony.com.
And people can go on the website for the symphony to become a volunteer, buy tickets, get involved in our community as well.
Because
music and what you do is beautiful. So, our dear friends, this is Sita Begee again. Samantha Nazario was filling in for Ellen today. Our guest was Michelle Wallace Campanelli. She is a national best-selling author, a singer, screenwriter, full-time student who's getting her doctorate, inspiring person, empowering. And it's been a fantastic show. We will be back next Monday right here in studio in sunny Cocoa, Florida on WWBC. Thank you, and thank you for tuning in.
Thank you.
Thanks, Sita.